Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everybody. It's DJ Gatsby. You listen to Who's Doing That for Greg and Lit, the Blog Talk Radio show. Big shout out to everybody that came on and listened in last week. I understand the phone lines lit up. A lot of people couldn't get through. But, you know, it is what it is. The show was hot. Got a lot of people that called in. So, you know, stick with us. We're going to try to get another show with more lines coming on. But in the meantime, we got my man David L. in the building. Yo, Dave, you online, B?
Yes, sir. I'm here.
All right, yeah, once again, ladies, who's who next? We're going to Blog Talk Radio Show. Your host, DJ Gatsby, a.k.a. The Book Critic, a.k.a. Mr. Going and Sexy, and all that good stuff, yo. And in the building, one and only David L. Dave, where you from? Brooklyn, man? Where you from? Brooklyn? Mount Vernon?
Planet Brooklyn. BK, Planet Brooklyn.
BK all day. My man from Brooklyn in the house. Yo, man, thanks for being on the show today, man. I really appreciate it.
No doubt. Thank you for having me.
All right. For the people that don't know who you are, and I'm sure there's a lot of them out there, tell them a little about, man, who you are, you know, where you're from, and what you do, man.
David L., publisher, author. Got four novels out right now. Fifth one will be out March 1st, 2016. Movie for Represent. No tentative release date, but that's coming soon. Just making moves, trying to be as versatile as possible.
Yeah, man, I see you. You know, for those that don't know, me and Dave go way back. When I launched DJ Gash's book club, first book club meeting and event that we had in White Plains, New York, he showed up. Once again, thanks for that, too, man. You showed me mad love that day, man.
Yeah, no doubt. I ain't had that coming up, so I always told myself I was going to do it.
Yeah, man, you know, I appreciate it, man. You know, a lot of people go a lot of places and do a lot of things in this business. You can't be everywhere, but, you know, I appreciate you taking the time to come out, you know, and with me, I think Mac Mama was there and a couple of other authors, but that was huge for me, knowing the game, book club, trying to get some members and get some authors out, man. That was my first event, so, you know, thanks again for all of that, man. I appreciate it.
I'm going to continue to support as much as possible.
Yes, sir. Now, you got a lot of fabulous books, man. My favorite one is Represent. And you got a couple of more out. Now, you give us a little history on the books, which came first, and a little bit about the books, man, because I'm not really sure which book you first did. My Life is a Movie. Was that it? Or
novel. Under my own company, I had a book out called It's Like Butter Baby. That was still a Canadian imprint publishing label. After that, I didn't like their work. I didn't like how they put it out. So I said, you know what? Let me do it myself. That became My Life as a Movie. But my first title under my own publishing imprint, Total Package Publications, was Over Your Dead Body, followed by My Life as a Movie, followed by Talk Outline Confessions, followed by Represent.
Okay. Yeah, that's a nice body of work, man. I said, I think when I was doing some of the promo, man, that you're one of the most underrated authors in the business. And I really mean that, man. I checked your books out. I see how you move. You know, a lot of people get a lot of more publicity or accolades in the business. And a lot of times it's because of the advertising, the marketing, and promotions. It's not so much the quality of their work. But I really give my hat off to you, man. I think... you know, a lot more people should read your books and find out who you are and what you're all about, man. But, you know, all things come in time, my brother. All things come in time, man. Now, you did those four books. Who were some of the people that influenced you, man, when you started writing? I mean, I know you've been in the game for a minute, but who were some of the people, man, that influenced you or you admired their work, man, when, you know, early on?
I mean, quite honestly, the people that, I kind of looked at coming in, unfortunately, those people are no longer with us in the physical nature. And, you know, when I say that, I'm talking about individuals like, you know, Malcolm X. I'm talking about individuals like, you know, Donald Goyne. And, you know, they were somewhat of an inspiration because, again, you know, when I write a book, It's not just because it's the end thing to do, or because it sounds good. Because, I mean, coming from New York, quite honestly, a lot of my book signings aren't in the New York area. And that's because, you know, New York authors, it's like every other person, everybody who thinks that they can write, tries to become a writer. And I say that because, you know, coming in, I tell myself that I had to separate myself and be as different as possible. And I think I've done that, you know, just based on, you know, my book cover, the way I carry myself, the way I do my signings, and how I interact with my readers.
Yeah, I agree with you, man. Very competitive market in New York. I mean, tons and tons and thousands of authors out there, you know, some published. You know, some of their stuff is on Amazon. Some people just don't even go to Amazon. They do different avenues to get their work done. So it is definitely a tough market to break in, and there's a lot of competition out there. But, you know, I respect your hustle, man. You know, you got your own niche. You got your own style, your own swag, you know, And you got results. Now I keep missing you at the Harlem Book Fair, man. I see pictures. I've been there twice. I've seen you there at least twice since I've been in the game. But you got an annual event that goes on. Tell us about that event, man. That Harlem Book Fair party that you have every year, man.
Yeah, I got an event. I actually call it the pre-HBF meet and greet, and you know, I do that for legal purposes, and I do that because from a standpoint of a lot of individuals, you know, they come out from all over, all 50 states, and sometimes from, you know, outside the country, literally, especially a lot of the book clubs and really in the avid readers. And they come out, and quite honestly, you know, they come out to find out that not everything is presented the way that they thought it was going to, you know, come across. And I'm saying that from the author's standpoint as well, because I've been inboxed on many an occasion by an author saying that, you know, the Harlem Book Fair wasn't what they expected. So,
yeah.
As a New York author, you know, me coming to the Harlem Book Fair is nothing but, you know, getting into my car and driving into Harlem. And it's nothing for me.
Yeah.
But for that author, for that reader coming, traveling from, you know, whatever state to come to New York, a lot of times it's a disappointment. So for that reader, for that author, I want to, you know, do something to incorporate their experience that weekend. So what I do is the Friday, the day before the Harlem Book Fair, I do a party. And, you know, I fund it myself. I have readers come out to meet their favorite author, and I have the authors, you know, that are invited as well by myself to meet their readers before the actual event. Because quite honestly, the Harlem Book Fair, as you know, because you've been there, a lot of it is taken away from favoritism, and you have a certain culture of writers, and they take away from the attention of other writers coming up. So the same way you said you see me, a lot of their readers don't see their authors and vice versa, unfortunately, because so much is going on that day.
Yeah, it is. It was a wonderful event. I just started coming about 4 or 5 years ago, and I got a lot of cats that's been in the game like you who say it's not like it used to be. It's more commercial, and the focus is not really on the art of writing and the, you know, the African American culture and literature and literacy as it is something else, man. But once again, this is DJ Gatsby, Who's Who on African American Lit Block Talk Radio. We got a guest today from Brooklyn, New York, my man David L. Yo, Dave, thanks for coming through, man. Now, you know, the show is only 10 minutes. A few more things I want to talk to you about. Your latest book, man, I caught the cover. I know it's coming out sometime next month. Tell our readers a little bit about that book, man, and what they can look for. I believe it's March 2016 when that book drops.
Yes, March 1st, 2016. Basically, the concept of that, name of the book is A Recipe for Revenge. And what I wanted to do was I wanted to really give the reader and have them into a world where people start doing things because of how they were treated and their retaliation, you know, method. So basically, give you a quick synopsis. You got four characters, four high school students. They reunite at their, you know, high school, their 10th year high school reunion. Come to find out that they have a lot more in common than they thought. And without giving too much away, they have a common enemy, so they decide to get together and get back at this common enemy. And the book is, you know, very critical because, think The Breakfast Club goes rogue. And I say that because, you know, from what this individual did to them from their high school experience, it totally transformed their entire life for the negative. So they all get together and they decide to plot and get back at the common enemy. So readers will really be, like, intrigued from the first page because I'm not the type of individual to have people just sitting on a couple of chapters. You know, they get to page 10, 20, 30, and then that's when the action kicks in. I start my action off on page 1 because I don't want my readers to put the book down, and they're going to get that when they pick this book up.
Hello. Yo, Dave, you still there?
I'm here.
Yeah, my phone just dropped the call, man. Damn. Hope it don't happen again. I did get the end of that, man. I just wanted to piggyback on that. Sounds like a great plot, man, and synopsis for the book, man. And we all look forward to that book in March. You also mentioned the film, man. I heard you about working on a film, trying to get a deal. Tell us a little about that movie deal that you got in the works, man.
Yeah, I got a two-book deal. Right now, don't want to give away the company that picked
okay.
it up because contract hasn't been signed yet. But the first movie is Represent. There was some release dates that were supposed to have started actually about a year or so ago, and everything kept
okay.
getting pushed back. But right now, there is a pre-production deal on the line. Staff and writers and actors have been hired, so they're moving forward, and it's going to happen. And right now, there's a new tentative release date, and they're projecting sometime around winter of 2016, possibly
yeah.
you know, early 2017. So you know, we'll see what happens. And part of the negotiation process, which also made it take so long, was as far as the actual shooting. And they wanted to do everything in you know Hollywood. I wanted you know a big part of it because it takes place in New York. I wanted it filmed in New York. So we compromised and we're doing 50-50, half in you know California, half in New York. So best of both worlds.
All right, yo, good luck with that, man. I know how these movie deals work, particularly when you're an author, you know, going from the book to film. I've worked with a couple of authors who, during their books and the movies, in the process, man. I know it takes a lot. It's not as easy as a lot of people think, man. But good luck, man, with that, man. Keep me informed on that project, bro. You know I
want
to support you, man.
And I want all the listeners to know that another part of the delay was my creative input. And I want everybody to know I got creative control. Nothing goes down without me, you know, knowing about it. You know, they're not going to put a whole bunch of, like, Beach Boy covers and twist it and turn it around. If you read Represent the book, look forward to seeing Represent the movie because it's going to be almost identical.
All right. Y'all got a caller that calling in, man. I don't know who this is. You calling? Caller, you on the line? What's your name? Maybe it's just somebody listening. All right, yo, Dave, man, you can hang around if you want to. We got Teresa A. Campbell on the line. She's calling in. She's a Christian fiction author also from Metairie. Teresa, are you on the line?
I'm here, Jeff.
Oh, hey, what's up?
How are
Welcome,
you?
I'm good. Hey, yo, Dave, man, hang around, man. I'll talk to you again before the show's over. That was David L., in the building, and now we got Teresa A. Campbell. All right, Dave, so thanks, man. I'm going to holler at you a little bit later.
I know that.
All right. Yeah, Who's Who Never American Lit, Block Talk Radio Show. Teresa, thanks for holding on. We actually had some problems with lines and some calls that dropped. My call actually got dropped. But thank you for being so patient and hold on. So let me start it off like this. Who's on African American Liberal Talk Radio? Your host, DJ Gatry, a.k.a. Mr. Grown and Sexy, a.k.a. The Book Critic. And we're here with Teresa A. Campbell. How you doing, my sister?
I'm doing very well, Jeff. We're getting a lot of background noise. Are you getting it, too?
I'm getting it, too, and I don't know. There's somebody on the line. Is somebody else on the line? All right, if there are, I'm going to have to shut them. I'm going to have to cut them, shut them down because I'm getting feedback. All right, so, again, is that better? Once again, everybody, Who's Who, Nothing American Lit, Block Talk Radio, it's DJ Gatsby. I'm seeming to be having some type of issue with the audio and the calls coming in. If you're listening and you're trying to get through, the number is 347-945-7552. Teresa, if you're there, please call us back. It seems I've lost you as well. So we're waiting for Teresa A. Campbell to get back on the line. We got another caller right here.
Caller
from the 914. Yes.
Hi, this is Teresa. I got disconnected. I just called back in. I'm here.
All right, what is your area code?
914.
Okay. Well, thank you for calling back in. We got to go ahead and get this show started. So, Teresa,
okay.
Tell our listeners where you're from and how you started writing.
Okay. Well, I was born and raised in Jamaica, West Indies, and I migrated to the U.S. Approximately over 16 years ago. I currently reside in New York, and I'm working for an accounting company in Manhattan. So I started, you know, I always wanted, I read a lot, Jeff, growing up. I grew up in Jamaica, in the country, We didn't get electricity until I was like 11 years old. So reading for me was entertaining, you know what I mean? So I always wanted to write, but when I came here, I had no knowledge about self-publishing or anything like that. And just the idea of getting a contract, you know, with a publishing company, it seems like a miracle in of itself. So I put it on the back burner and just started going to school and just, you know, but it was right there. Unfortunately, it didn't take – my uncle, who was like a father to me, he had an heart attack and he passed away when he was just 58 years old. So, you know, I was very devastated about that. Before he died, one of the conversations that we had, we talked about following your dreams and, you know, going after what you want. And I was sharing with him that I always wanted to write novels. And I said, but Uncle Sonny, you know, I'm not going to get a publishing deal, you know. But he said you should still go for it. So when he died, I decided, you know what, life is short. I'm going to go for it. But most importantly, my first book, Are You There, God, has over 70% of my life story in it. So it was like a therapeutic, you know, thing for me to do just to get over such a great loss. So that's how I started. Yeah.
All right, hold on. I don't want to cut you off. I want to cut you off. Now, you're saying your first book was Are You There, God?
Are You There, God? Yes, that's my first novel.
And that's partially about you, your relationship with God.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about the story, because you just said...
Yeah, it's a story of this young lady. Her name is Dupree. She was raised... her mother... was just 15 years old when she had her, and then at 1 week old, her mother ran away and left her with her grand aunt. So she was there. She knew where father was. She struggled, you know, life. They were very poor. No running water. No electricity. They live in a little one bedroom boarded house, and they get by. But the one thing her grand aunt always said to Dupree was that, you know what, have faith, and if you pray, God will always be there for you. But at 13 years old, the grand aunt that she was depending on had a stroke, and she was left by herself to fend for herself. She knew where father was, remember? Her mother ran away. So life was very hard. So Dupree was wondering, you know, where is God? So she asked the question, are you there, God? But she dig deep in within her faith, you know, and people came and helped her, and, she, you know, she was brutally attacked, almost died by someone she trusted. And she was able to eventually go away to Kingston to attend college. And at 19
years
old...
I don't want to give away too much of the book. But I just want to give you the premise of it, and I see what it is. It sounds like a young girl who's growing up. She has a troubled childhood, and as she got older, and she basically comes to a point in her life where she says, are you there, God? Basically,
exactly.
I guess, you know, and questions about what she's going through, and, mm-hmm. and is he there for her? Now, the other book that you did... it's called God Has Spoken. So is this like a follow-up? Because it says, are you there, God? And now the next book is God Has Spoken.
Oh, you see, I didn't even have to explain that, Jeff. You got it. That's exactly what it is. So when she went to Kingston, she started college, then what do you think happened? Here comes the mother who had abandoned her when she was 1 week old. So her mother now is saying, now, listen, I have a reason why I had to leave, and I have a reason why we stay away. But Dupree is saying, listen, I want nothing to do with you. You know, when I needed you, you weren't there. But so God has spoken, asked the question, how hard is it to forgive? You know?
Wow.
And then not only that, though, I should also note that the father, she find out that her biological father was right there under her nose, and they were wealthy, well-to-do, and he never lifted a hand to help her while she was going through all her troubles. So
that's very interesting. Again, I don't want to cut you off, but I don't want you to give away the story. I just need a quick rundown.
All right. I get a little bit excited and, you know, enthusiastic talking about my book.
Listen, I get it. What I'm going to ask you a question in just a second. But then again, it's Who's Who in African American Literature, Blog Talk Radio Show. I'm your host, DJ Gatsby, also known as the book critic. We're here with Teresa A. Campbell, Jamaican author from New York. Now, your books are Christian fiction or faith-based books. Can you just tell me a little bit as to why you chose to write that genre or to share, you know, that aspect of your life in your writing?
To be honest, Jeff, it's for me as well as for my readers, because I'm telling you, I've gone through some stuff in my life like maybe a lot of people, most of us have. So writing Christian fiction is a way also to uplift my faith, while I'm doing the same for my readers. Because I think, you know, I was told once that every person at some point in our lives, we go through three different phases of in life, right? One, you're either in a storm. Two, you just got out of a storm. Or three, you're getting ready to go into a storm. So troubles and trials and tribulation, we can't escape that. It's a part of life. The question is, how do you deal with that? And I think if we motivate each other and inspire each other, then we'll be able to have that support that can, you know, lead us through it. So that's my intention. Mm-hmm. I just want to motivate people while motivating myself, you know, because readers, sometimes we just need something different, someone who can relate to us. I want to keep it real so readers can relate to all my characters. And I get that a lot, too. I get emails, and it blessed my heart so much when someone said, listen, I know you didn't just write my story. I know you just didn't. You know what I mean? But it's really...
Well, that's great. I didn't mean to cut you off. I'm sorry. But that's great, and I think that's what a lot of authors look is to connect with their readers in some way, either with the story or the characters. And that's great. And so two fantastic books, man. I can't say enough about your writing. I haven't had a chance to read the books, but the reviews and the synopsis are very compelling. And I'm very partial to Christian fiction and faith-based authors as well. Now, I met you at the Obawa Book Fair. The Bronx Museum in the Bronx. Big shout to Danielle Leach and her team. They had a wonderful event there together. Uh-huh. Now, I met you, and you were with Nigeria Lockley. I also met Nigeria Lockley there as well.
That's my sister.
You guys
tribe,
seem to be good friends and work together. When I followed you, I see you guys do events together.
Mm-hmm.
How did you meet her? And tell us a bit about the relationship real quickly, because I want to talk about your book, His Final Deal, before you go. But tell us a bit about your relationship with her and how you guys met.
Well, Nigeria and I were both with Urban Christian Fiction Books. And we're here in New York. You know, at first, you know, I was a little bit scared. I didn't know Nigeria. And I've been burnt in the sense that I've reached out to authors before asking for advice and stuff like that. You get ignored. Some people, they don't respond or anything like that. And I remember she sent me an email and she said, hey, listen, we're New Yorkers, girl. We have to get together and do some events and let's do this. And I was like, she's like that. She was friendly. And I was like, wow, you know, someone willing and able to embrace me. So we started and we communicated. We did last year we were at Ireland Book Fairs together. We had Barnes & Noble, Dixon Book Signings. We're in New Jersey at the Independent Authors Book Expo. You saw it there in the Bronx. And we just get together, just two people that motivate each other. And when we talk about my next book is Final Deal, which I self-published, I couldn't have done it without her. I mean, I sent her like a dozen texts in one day, and she'll respond like in a minute, you know.
Well, now, you mentioned Final Deal. It's a little, I'm going to cut you off, but you mentioned this final deal. It's a little departure from the other titles that you've written. See, it comes out in March of 2016. Real quickly, tell me a little bit about that book because we, you know, the interview is very, very short, and I have the other author on the line. I believe I have Chris Rose, are you on the line?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you, my sister. I'm going to get to you in 1 second.
No problem.
And the East Coast as well. I'm going to finish up right now with Teresa. So, Teresa, tell us a little bit about His Final Deal
before we go.
Real quickly.
Now, Jeff, in Are You There, God, real quickly, my Dupree, she went to Kinston and she met this guy who, in a nutshell, he deceived her, pretend to be something else. Then she found out that he's a drug dealer and he just wanted to sleep with her and everything like that. His name was, they call him Smooth Suave. His name is actually Raymond Brown. And I wasn't going anywhere with Suave until I started getting emails and stuff from my readers asking, Suave, what happened to him? I mean, there's no hope for him, you know? So I decided I was going to tell Suave's story. So his story is in His Final Deal. Suave is one of is Jamaica's biggest drug lord. Yeah, he has eight children.
Okay, so he's a character. I'm going to cut you off, but he's a character from one of the previous books.
Yes, he came in there. The book wasn't about him, but he had a relationship with my main character, Dupree. But no, I tell
all right,
its
well,
story.
That book is coming out. I don't want to start by cutting you off. That book is coming out in March 1st, 2016. Teresa, I hate
yes.
to end the interview, but I have the
no,
next
I understand.
Guest coming on.
We have a short
on.
Time, and thank you so much for having me. I do appreciate it.
All right, once again, Who's Who in African American Live, Block Talk Radio Show, Teresa A. Campbell, author from New York. Make sure you check out her books, Are You Their God and God Has Spoken, as well as the upcoming book that she has in March, His Final Deal. So, Teresa, you can hang on for a few minutes. I'm going to talk to our next guest and give you a chance to have a last word before we close the show, okay?
No problem. Yes, thank you.
All right. All right, still here. DJ Gatsby, Who's Who in African American Lit, the Block Talk Radio Show, and with Miss Rocky Chris Rose or Rocky Rose. I don't even know how to address you, my sister.
You can just call me Rocky. It's okay.
All right. Rocky's in the building. Listen, thank you for being so patient. I know we ran over a little time. I'll make sure we get your entire interview in before we shut down the show. But introduce yourself to my listeners and tell them a little bit about yourself.
Hi, everybody. This is Rocky hailing from New Haven, Connecticut. I'm an author of two published works. The first book is I, When, You, Lose, that was published in 2012. And then my solo debut novel, My Man, My Abuser, which I published in 2013. I've had a passion for writing since my sophomore year in high school. And ever since then, I've been putting the pen to the paper and just creating stories on top of stories.
Okay, now Rocky, we met in D.C. at the launch party for Honor That Thug launch party in D.C. for Wahida Clark.
Yep.
And I kind of followed you. We became friends on Facebook and kind of followed you. And I see you've been following me and supporting the work I do. So I really appreciate that. You know, first of all,
no
thanks
problem.
For being a friend and supporter
support
in this business. Yeah, you meet a lot of people in this business and, you know, they don't develop relationships or friendships. So, and thank you for, you know, keeping in touch with me and you know, supporting who I am and what I do. Now, you said your first book, 2012?
Yeah, I, When, You, Lose. It was a short novella that I co-wrote with another author from New Haven. We each had three short stories in that book, and we published
tell
that.
Tell us a little bit about you. Go ahead. Tell us a little bit about the story that you wrote for that book, I, When, You, Lose.
I did three stories. My stories were Light at the End of the Tunnel, My Baby, and oh my God, this is terrible.
Well, I mean, listen, it's all right. It's all right if you can't remember what they were. But what were the stories based on? Were they relationships? Were they, you know, urban
they
fiction, street fiction stories?
It's a compilation of stories dealing with different areas of domestic violence. And my three stories, I actually took pieces of my life and what I've dealt with over the years and made my characters go through them, through the situations that I went through. And
okay.
The one I think in the cycle was the other one. Cycle, I think I had too much fun writing because I actually did it from a point of view where this young gentleman was in a relationship with this female, but it was all in his head. He was carrying on a full-blown relationship with this chick all in his head. And at the end of the tunnel, one of the main characters, she was in an abusive relationship with this dude, and she had an admirer, which was one of her neighbors, but, you know, being that she was already in a relationship, she couldn't really embark on a relationship with him, and he was her saving grace. And in the end, of course, they got together, and he showed her how a real man is supposed to treat a woman.
Wow.
And
okay,
in my last
don't
story,
give it all, don't give them all away. Don't give them all
I won't,
away.
I promise.
She said there's another story in the book. Listen, we're gonna get back to that if we have time. Now, but you said it was three stories in that particular book. But the book I really was most interested in talking to you about was My Man, My Abuser. That's the book you were promoting when I saw you in D.C. That was a book, I think you sent me a copy of that for DJ Gatsby's book. I think we read and reviewed that.
Yep.
Very, very powerful book. It's a subject that a lot of people don't want to discuss, don't want to talk about, ashamed of. And not really connected to those stories because of the pain.
Right.
Now, tell us a bit about Mommy and My Abuser, one of my favorite books. One of the reasons I really kept in touch with you and supporting you, because I'm looking for something in the future. But tell us a bit about Mommy and Abuser, because that's one of my favorite books.
Mommy and My Abuser is loosely based on my life. I was in an abusive relationship for a month shy of 3 years, so like 2 years and 11 months. And I never really had an outlet as, like, the people to talk to about my relationship that I was going through and everything that I was going through, the beatings and the being thrown down the stairs and losing the kids I lost with this dude. And I put the pen to the paper, and I had been working on it for a while. And, you know, I needed an outlet so I can heal from it. And my outlet was Me and My Abuser. And
okay, so
Courtney... Excuse me?
No, go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you. I was going to say, what has been the response from the readers, fans, and reviewers to that book? Because I know a lot of women can relate to it, and I'm sure, you know, they've expressed their feelings to you. What has been the response from the readers, particularly the women and even the men who've read that book?
I've gotten so much love for that book. It's almost overwhelming. Like, I'm not going to even stunt on you. I didn't even expect the type of response from it that I've gotten. I've gotten people emailing me, when I used to work at the hospital I was working at, people stopped me. They'd be like, oh, my God, I can relate to this, or I know someone I was going through this. I'm going to give them your book. I'm going to buy a book for them because they need to read this and see how you got through it. This book has touched so many people's lives. It's, like, overwhelming for me.
Wow, that's
never
amazing.
In a million years would I have thought that, you know, my words and my work would help other people get through whatever they went through, or, you know, help them with their demons.
Yeah, well, that's what writing does. That's what literature does. That's what, you know, readers want to get when they read a book, is to be able to connect to the character, the author, or the situations and the stories or the moral that comes from reading that. And I think it's a fantastic book. I would recommend it to all young women, those who have never been in an abusive relationship, as well as those who have, because it is a struggle. And you need to kind of come to terms with the relationship so you can move on. It's Who's
exactly.
Who Has Gurgling, Block Talk Radio Show, your host, DJ Gatsby, a.k.a. The Book Critic. We're here with... very, very talented author, Rocky Chris Rose from Connecticut. Thank you so much for calling in, my sister, and being patient.
I thank you for
having
me.
No, listen, I've been a fan. I've been a supporter for a long, long time. I'm busy doing a lot of things, and I do meet people, and I do like to get to know them better, particularly for my TV show, radio show, even a blog, or even just to promote their books, and I don't always have time to do that. And, you know, when I reached out to you to be on the show, I'm like, I hope she can do it. I hope she has time to talk to me, because I really, really want to get her on the air and talk about her journey. So thank you.
I definitely appreciate the opportunity. I definitely do.
Now, another thing that I wanted to speak to you, we're going to step away from the books for a minute, is talking about your daughter. You have a very special child. Daughter.
Yes.
You share her experiences and trials and tribulations and triumphs on Facebook and social media, and that's great to see someone do that, because a lot of people go through those situations with their own children or other family members. So tell us a bit about this special girl of yours, and I believe you have a son as well, but tell us about that special daughter that you have.
My daughter, Asia, she was diagnosed with spastic diplegia in March of last year. And spastic diplegia is a form of cerebral palsy that only affects your lower limbs, so from the waist on down. My daughter has never had the opportunity to walk like most people. You know, she's never had the opportunity to enjoy life as a quote-unquote normal child her age. And...
okay.
She underwent surgery, she had a bilateral rhizotomy last April in Florida, and we were in Florida for 6 weeks with it, and what it did was it corrected the bones and everything in her calf muscles and her thigh muscles and in her feet. So with the surgery along with intensive therapy, she'll be walking in no time. Like, she's made so much progress in this year and a half after her surgery than she did before she even had the surgery and was going to regular physical therapy.
Wow, that's great. That's great.
Yeah, she's my heart. She is my absolute heart. She's my hero. I tell her this, like, literally every day. She's my hero. Because, you know,
wow,
you sit there and go through situations in life, and then you look at someone like her, and she's never complained about her not being able to walk or nothing like that. And it makes you realize, like, whatever I'm going through is nothing as bad as her struggle.
Yeah, wow. That's a very powerful story. My prayers go out to you. Your daughter as well, as she, you know, recovers or, you know, conquers this disease and these setbacks. You know, we have to support our children. We have to support families who go through struggles like this, man. So, again, kudos to you and the family. My prayers
Thank
go out
you.
To you, man.
It's definitely appreciated.
Now, you haven't released anything in a while. I saw a couple of book covers when I was doing some research following you on Facebook and social media. Now, do you have any stories completed? Do you have anything coming out? Because I've seen some book covers out there.
Yeah, I'm working on releasing two books come 2016, which are the two follow-up books to My Me and My Abuser. So Stirred and Shaken is the second part to My Me and My Abuser. When Courtney leaves their jerk, Quamar, and she's in a relationship with Tony, and Tony takes her through a different part of domestic violence, which is an emotional part. And he screws her up pretty bad emotionally. And then part three, Bruised But Never Broken, is after Courtney and Tony break up. It left Courtney kind of vulnerable and messed up emotionally. So she kind of started disrespecting herself in a sense where she would link up with guys just for the physical gratification, and when she was done with them, she would leave the money on the dresser, so to speak. Thank you for your services. That's
wow.
all I need from you. Goodbye.
Yeah,
so
listen, good luck with the process. I don't mean to cut you off, but good luck with the process of publishing those books. I know your fans and readers are anxiously awaiting your your next book. Listen, Rocky, I hate to shut it down, but we only got 30 minutes for the show. We ran over a little bit, and I want to make sure I get out of here on time. So now David L. had called in. Dave, you still there? He may be going. Nigeria Lockley had also called. Not Nigeria. I'm too much on my mind. Teresa Campbell, are you still there?
I'm still here, Jeff.
All right. And Rocky, I'm going to give you a chance to have the last word in a minute. But Teresa, thank you so much for calling in. I appreciate you supporting me and being a part of the show. Anything you want to say to the listeners before we go?
Well, just that, we had briefly touched on it, that my next book, is Final Deal. It's now available on Amazon for pre-order. And, appreciate their support. They can get more information on me and my books if they go to my website at TeresaACampbell.com. Link me up on social media. I'm on Facebook, Twitter. I'm LinkedIn. I'm all over the place. I would love to connect with your listeners.
All right. Well, listen, thanks again for coming on. I'm trying to give my man David L. a chance to give a shout-out before he left. But, David L., big shout-out to you, man, everybody out in Brooklyn. Good luck on that movie project that you're working on. And also, Dave, on your upcoming book that's going to be released in March. So, Rocky, before we go, man, last words for your fans, friends, and listeners out there, and everybody's been supporting you.
I just want to say thank you to everybody that has supported me thus far in my career. 2016, look out for Bruised Never Broken, Stirred and Shaken, and a few other short stories coming from me. And everybody be blessed.
Wow. All right, that's it, everybody. DJ Gatsby, yours truly, the book critic, a.k.a. Mr. Grown and Sexy. Another wonderful, wonderful show here. Teresa A. Campbell, David L., and Rocky Chris Rose. So listen, don't forget to join us next Wednesday, 6:30. Follow me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Tumblr, YouTube, Pinterest, and WordPress.com. Don't forget to check out the TV show, The Talk Show with DJ Gatsby, at www.youtube.com/DJ Gatsby. And also visit our website, Who's Who in African American Literature.com. All right, Rocky, I love you. Teresa, I love you too. Thank you guys for
love
calling
you too,
in.
Babe.
See
Thank
you
care.
On social media. And happy holidays, everybody.
Same to you. Thank
yes,
you.
Yeah, same to you.
Bye-bye.
All right. All right, good night.
Bye-bye.